As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standing, and I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic, which means that I was in the happiest place in the city of Philadelphia tonight, which, of course, was the Washington Commanders locker room postgame after a stunning win over the Philadelphia Eagles. The NFL's last undefeated team is no more. The Eagles fall 32-21 to the Commanders. Quite the game for Washington on so many levels. I'm talking to you guys. It's like roughly, I don't know, 4 a.m. in Philadelphia. Done my written work. Debated not doing a podcast. Decided to bang out something here really quick just to give everybody a little bit of feel for what happened tonight. And since I'm just doing this solo, I'll play some sound post game from both Taylor Heinicke and Terry McLaurin. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or on The Athletic for an ad-free version, because obviously we'll have a lot more to discuss as this week goes on. In addition, check out The Athletic story up in the morning as well. Okay, quick thoughts. Look, obviously, you know, Washington was an 11-point underdog going into this game, and based on what we've seen to this point, it was hard to say that they were going to pull off the win. What, though, did we discuss this week? What did I write about this week? I wrote about turnovers. Turnovers are always important, right? But the disparity in this game, this matchup, was jarring. Philadelphia, plus 15 turnover margin. The second-best team in the league was roughly half that. Washington was minus 4 in turnover margin, and in terms of turnover rate, Philadelphia was number 1, Washington dead last. If they were going to turn this around, Washington needed to figure out a way to start getting these turnovers. They've been talking for weeks and weeks about they know they'll come, and when they do, they'll come in bunches. They all repeat some version of what I just said over and over again. Tonight it happened. Even though Taylor Heinicke had 2 turnovers, an interception, and a fumble, Washington won the turnover battle 4-2. Derek Forrest, Benjamin St. Juste, and Jamin Davis all were involved in the various fumbles. Casey Tuhill picked one up at the end of the game after Philadelphia was kind of trying to do the lateral thing, and he scored a 1-yard touchdown to give them the 11-point win. The turnover matchup, so the turnover battle was one aspect of this. Then you had the time of possession aspect. Wow, did Washington dominate here? Now, part of it is because, like when Taylor Heinicke had his first, he fumbled early in the game. Philadelphia quickly turned that into a 1-yard Jalen Hurts touchdown for a 7-0 lead. You know, things like that happen that are going to give the other side, you know, when you score the quick touchdowns like that, the other team's probably going to have the time of possession, but you don't care if you get the points. Except that Washington then followed up with 5 possessions in a row, scoring touchdowns. Almost all of them were just incredibly long drives. They stuck to the run game, Brian Robinson, 26 carries, had some really, really aggressive runs, including his couple right around the goal line. He really worked hard against an Eagles front that the team felt was beatable. Without Jordan Davis, Philadelphia's first-round pick, the defensive tackle, we saw last week Houston got after Philadelphia on the ground. Washington was able to do that here as well. They also converted one third down after another. Taylor Heinicke and Terry McLaurin in particular really seemed to have a good connection on third down. Washington was 9 of 12 in the first half alone. All of that, not only did that lead to Washington points, it, as Ron Rivera said, it gave them the best way to slow down Jalen Hurts, and that was by keeping him on the sideline. And as sometimes as basic as it is, we get caught up in football of, you know, make the big plays, these fancy offensive calls, whatever. Win the turnover battle, control the clock. You can do that. I would imagine the percentage is you're going to win far more than you won't. And Washington did that today. You know, Taylor Heinicke, just go back to the offense. You know, Taylor Heinicke made some really nice, daring throws. He also made really a couple of really heady plays. One in particular, it was one play where a snap, as we also went over his head. The standard play at that point is fall on the ball, right? Just make sure you don't lose possession. But Heinicke picked it up a relatively clean bounce. And seeing as how Washington was already in good position around midfield, he decided to throw it back towards the line of scrimmage. So he threw it effectively out of bounds, but past the sticks. Thus, it wasn't, and since he was out of pocket, it was not grounding. And that really helped save some field position there. Washington would go on to score. When the offense bogged down, Joey Sly delivered 4 field goals, including one from 58, one from 55. The wind was going in that direction. Both of his kicks were in the same direction. He told me after the game that it's not so much that the wind was pushing it in that direction, though clearly there was some help, but he felt pretty good pregame. He booted a 61-yarder, he said, in that direction, and felt that he had a good feel for the you know, aim of where he needed to go, and was able to not just get it in between the uprights, really boot it. He also had a 55-yarder in the fourth quarter, right after Jamin Davis and John Ridgeway forced a fumble. That's one of those plays where next time somebody says or you think Washington never gets a break from the ref, go back and look at that one. Jamin Davis with a clear face mask on Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert, but the refs didn't see it. Davis recovered the fumble, led to the Sly field goal. Lastly on offense, well, actually two more things on offense. One, Terry McLaurin, what a monster. We already know he's a really good receiver, but he's really, really jacked up the attitude, and I mean that in a positive way. He was such a tone setter today. I believe a couple people said they could hear him on the broadcast after one catch yelling at Philadelphia, "Don't put a safety on me." He really, you know, like I said, it's one thing to, he got over 100, he had 128 yards on 8 catches. Both were just shy of career highs. But he really did, as I said, set the tone for what they were doing out there. And he obviously just gives Taylor Heinicke such a reliable target to boot. And then lastly, you know, give credit to the offensive line, combination of the line and Heinicke. But I believe Heinicke was only sacked one time. You know, this is the same team that sacked Carson Wentz 9 times in their first meeting. One just note here on the line, Cornelius Lucas started a right tackle per usual, but Sam Cosmi came in at one point, and they ultimately split reps. I was told that was the plan. It was not an injury. That was the plan. So interesting to see where that goes moving forward. Defensively, the secondary, let's just go there. The secondary, the young guys are just playmakers, right? Derek Forrest, an interception and a fumble recovery. Benjamin St. Juste, who has been sort of the man in the middle of constant big or interesting plays over the last few weeks. You know, it seems like whenever, like last week, he gets the pick six against the Vikings. In this game, he got tagged for a pass interference call early, and it just kind of felt like it was going to be one of those games where he was right there a lot, but just seemed to be on the wrong end of things. Well, that changed in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia, down 2 points, gets a 50-yard pass from Hurts to Quez Watkins, and it looked like Watkins might be able to run it in to the end zone. He falls down, gets up, but as he gets up, St. Juice comes from behind, tackles him, knocks the ball away. Forrest picks it up for the recovery. And between those two guys, Cam Curl, they are really making plays. And that's, you know, when they talk about turnovers coming in bunches, that's what you're – it's one thing to sort of say that, but you have to have the guys with that aggressive mindset to do that. And those guys in particular really stand out. Kendall Fuller had some nice plays as well in coverage. You know, last game, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown just wrecked this defense. Washington, by and large, kept the big plays to a minimum and really made a huge difference. No doubt I'm forgetting some things. There was a lot of crazy plays in this game for sure. I'm sure, you know, I'll be interested to go back and watch the replay and get a feel for what the view that you guys all had on television. You know, being at the stadium, you could hear the Eagles fans getting upset on certain calls. And, you know, even the Philadelphia writers, you know, they're looking at this game from their own perspective. Not to say that they necessarily thought one way or the other about some of the calls, but, you know, I think everybody on the Philly side was kind of stunned by what happened. And I will say this, admittedly, I did not pick Washington to win, but when I was trying to figure out the weakness here, one thing I always think about with teams who are in Philadelphia's position, that is, have they been able to, have they had a moment where they've had a challenge? Because until you have that first or second challenge from another opponent, you don't quite know how you're going to stand up in that moment, right? I mean, the Vikings, week after week after week now, are constantly either coming back or in a late game battle, as we saw Washington and then as we saw this past week in a great game against the Buffalo. The Eagles had not trailed at halftime. When Washington had a lead late in the second quarter, that was already the deepest into a game Philly has trailed this year. Now, I'm not saying that they folded or anything late, but, you know, they were definitely the team that seemed far more undisciplined in this one than Washington did. So, huge win for Washington, to say the least. 5-5. You know, they're firmly in the wild card chase. And, you know, because the defense has been playing so well, and this was such a signature win, you know, we can, at least I'm going to do my best to stop viewing this as, you know, a team you don't really believe in now to a team that, you know, clearly has shown that they can, you know, stand toe-to-toe with some of the better teams in what's a very much a down NFC. Is that enough to go deep? Well, obviously we still have a long way to go before we really have to have that conversation. The interesting conversation, of course, will be the one we have on Tuesday with Ron Rivera, particularly regarding the quarterback situation. He has not yet said what his plan is. He talked about, I asked him about this tonight. He said, we'll deal with that tomorrow. You know, look, I said this week, going on the assumption that they would potentially lose this game, that I would imagine Rivera turns back to Carson Wentz. Now that they won, they're 3-1 in Heineke's four starts. You know, I concur that that wins are not a quarterback stat, but it's hard to argue that this team has not been largely more efficient, and, you know, they're playing better collectively now. I don't really know how you go back to Wentz, assuming he is ready to go after recovering from this finger fracture. He is eligible to return this week after missing four games, so that's why it's up for, you know, up to Rivera to make a call here It's a relatively short week, or not relatively short, but it's a subtly short week. They have the one day less of practice because of the Monday night. I've said before, I could see that being a reason for Rivera to punt his decision down the road, assuming Wentz is even able to come back now. But we'll be huge. Like I said, I don't know how I'm sitting Heinicke at this point after a win like that. Heinicke was asked about it post game, and you'll hear a little bit about that here in a minute from him about where his thoughts are on that. Just lastly, and kind of what I wrote about in my story today on The Athletic, there were two kind of scenes in the locker room. There were the players just absolutely fired up, lit, as Cam Sim said, because obviously this is a massive win. They're dancing, they're standing on stools, they're singing, rap music is blaring, they're having a great time. And then the other component was Rivera himself, who obviously not only has he gone through so much over these last 3 years here, but his mother recently passed away. The funeral was on Monday. He comes back from that to deal with the Dan Snyder statement that mentions Brian Robinson's shooting. That leads to some uproar. They're already dealing with that loss last week to the Vikings. He's got this quarterback thing looming. All that, they find a way to get the win. And if you haven't seen it yet, you can go check out the Commanders' Twitter page or my Twitter page. They posted a video of Rivera postgame in the locker room before we got in there. He's talking to the players. We've seen these speeches. He gives the Newt Rockne type speech. Well, I guess it's more of the rah-rah postgame speech, but you know what I mean. He only was able to spit out a few words and basically just saying that his mother, Dolores, who passed away recently following a battle of cancer, she would have loved to have seen this. And players over and over again in the locker room expressed their, not so much their support for Rivera in like a rote kind of a way, but like it seemed to me a very genuine and sincere connection with this man who's helped guide them through so much over these three seasons. And I tweeted today that I think we need to all stop asking the question of whether these guys are distracted with all the chaos, because we know there'll be more Dan Snyder news to come, whether it's the Mary Jo White investigation, Congress, or who knows what else. The players are fine. even this week, they were a little bit upset from what I gather, from what they said regarding Brian Robinson's inclusion in that statement. But the mood in there has just remained steady and solid. I still don't know that this team is a real contender, considering both quarterbacks have limitations. And, I think the debate for Rivera on some level has got to be weighing the moment versus weighing the future. He's not, I just don't buy that he's going to view Taylor Heinicke as a long-term starter. But at the same point, Taylor Heinicke is probably going to give him his best chance to win the next game. And the next game is what matters to a guy like him, and it's certainly what matters to the players. So the player, he was emotional. They were emotional for him. And it's understandable why they were all celebrating loudly and proudly after that huge, huge win. All right, so Rivera will talk on Tuesday afternoon. We'll get a sense from him about just, anything else going on with this team. I did not note any injuries, but there's always something that potentially comes up, so we'll see about that. And then other than that, presumably the schedule will be somewhat normal ahead of the game in Houston. I will be there. We've got a few days to go before we get there. All right, that's it for me. I will play you guys out with this, though. Here's a little bit of Taylor Heinicke. Just first his thoughts on the game, and then talks about what this game meant for him, as well as where his head is at regarding the quarterback position, a clip from Terry McLaurin. I actually missed McLaurin. I was in the locker room when he spoke, but you'll hear he mentions Art Monk, and apparently the reason why he does this is that before the last game, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni did a press conference wearing a Mike Quick jersey and said something to the effect of that Mike Quick was, I'm not sure if he he jabbed at Washington or just praised Mike Quick. In any event, McLaurin, with that in mind, came up with his own bit with some praise for Art Monk, which, of course, as we all know, is well, well deserved. All right. That's going to be it for me. I will play these other clips right now, but that'll be it for me. I'll catch you guys later in this week. But for now, here's some Taylor Heinicke and Terry McLaurin to send you off into the week as Washington gets ready for the Houston Texans on Sunday.
You know, a big part of it was running the ball. We saw on film against the Texans that they were kind of getting after him a little bit. So we felt like we have a really good offensive line and good backs to do the same thing. So running the ball and stay on the field in third downs. I think we converted a lot of third downs today, kind of keep our offense on the field, keep their offense off. And, you know, we had long sustaining drives where when we got in the red zone, we scored. So if we can keep doing that, and I feel really good about this team. I'd probably say it's probably the biggest win of my career. Again, you know, it's a division opponent, undefeated, their place, Monday night. Can't get much better than that.
Obviously, it doesn't happen, but
to your
point for you over this last couple years.
Yeah, even just from last year, I feel a lot more comfortable out there, a lot more confident, and you know, I just understand what I need to do and not to do in order to win games. So to get a win like this, it's just a huge confidence booster for our team, and you know, we're excited to keep it going. Yeah, I could have, but we were at midfield there, and I felt like, you know, the ball, it wasn't a crazy bounce. I kind of picked it up clean, so I wanted to pick it up clean, make sure I wasn't about to get hit, and then try to get outside the box and get it past the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, that might have been one of the biggest plays that no one's really going to talk about. Yeah. Again, you know, we take it one game at a time. You know, our sole focus is on the Texans for next week. But again, you know, we understand where we're at, and we just need to keep winning. The guys come in every day and work hard. So, you know, I'm very excited where we're at.
It's obviously a good decision to make, too, at quarterback, if Carson comes back. Do you have Boston worried about where that might go?
Not at all. Again, you know, I said it back in OTAs. You know, we brought Carson in to be the starter. And If my number was called, I'd be ready to go in. So, you know, whatever decision they want to make, let's go. You know, if I'm backing up Carson next week, great. I'm going to help him any way I can to get ready for that Texans game. So, you know, the biggest thing for me, let's just go win. Let's keep winning, whether me playing or not.
First off, shout out to Art Monk. I heard some things, but shout out to Art Monk. He's a great mentor. So just want to start by that. But I think the emotion in that locker room is a culmination of a team that's been resilient throughout this year, had ups and downs, but we never waver, we never quit on each other. And, you know, we had confidence coming in this game. If we can make it a four-quarter game, if we can set the tone physically and make plays down the field, convert on third downs, you know, we felt like we had a chance to win this game. And you know, that's a great team over there. Obviously, you could tell by their record, but NFC East football, you never know what it can happen. And, you know, we're just proud of the way we came out today. Defense did a great job getting turnovers. Offense, you know, finished when we need to. Special teams did a great job as well. And when you win, it feels good. But when you win in this fashion against on the road, Monday Night Football against a division opponent, I think it's just that much sweeter. And you can feel the emotion on top of obviously what Coach Rivera has been going through in his personal life with his mother and everything. You could just tell how much it meant to him and so many guys in this locker room. And, you know, we're going to enjoy this one on the way home. And, you know, it's a quick turnaround with it being Monday, but we're going to enjoy this on the flight back, enjoy the off day, and get ready for the Texans. Just love that guy, man. I just love him. And I appreciate him for what he's done in the league, but also how he's mentored our receiver group and the way he spent his time. Gary Clark as well, you know, all those guys, they just really set the tone, and it really forces our receiver group to come out there and play at a high level, because we know they set the standard. And, you know, I think when guys like Dayami come in and make that big play, that's a sneaky play where we got 3 points there. You know what I mean? That changed it from a two-possession game or a one-possession game to a two-possession game. Curtis making big plays. Jahan coming back, making big plays. Cam, what he does. I'm really glad to be a part of a receiver group that we have.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.